What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp,
getting their firsthand accounts of the action from a fantasy perspective.
This is the place to be all month long, so you need to subscribe to the Fantasy Authority feed, the exclusive home of the super short run, super niche, and super essential podcast for the month of August. And we are back. This tour of training camps continues once again today. I mean, we were back yesterday, the day before that. We had some days off before that, but we are rolling here, folks. And it's because draft day is approaching. At this point, you have, I don't know, at least three drafts probably lined up. They're in your Google calendar. They're in the calendar on your phone. And you're counting down. The home leagues are fired up. Guys are texting. The casuals are out there. They're finally discovering that football is back. Preseason games have been played, folks. Okay, football is back. You need information, and we're bringing it to you again today. I mentioned this was heavy hitters week, and you might not think this team is a heavy hitter team, but guess what? We could have a future fantasy stud on our hands. We're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're wiping away last year. It's a new year, a new regime, a new Trevor Lawrence. ETN is full go, and we're going to find out more. I dialed up Hayes Carlion. He's the Jaguars reporter for 1010XL and 92.5, Jacksonville, Florida's flagship radio home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the co-host of The Frangie Show from 3 to 6 p.m., so you can hear Hayes every day. They have an app. If you're listening, hey, what happened at training camp today? What happened in season? You can find out from Hayes. You can find him at Hayes Carlion on Twitter. And he's about to deliver the definitive guide to the 2022 Jacksonville Jaguars. What are we waiting for? Let's bring them on. Ladies and gentlemen, Hayes Carlion.
Hey, good morning, David. How are you?
Good, Hayes. How are you?
Doing great.
Oh, man. Thank you so much once again for joining me. And, you know, obviously, this team is, you know, pretty exciting for fantasy gamers, especially coming off last year. So I'm excited to dig in.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
Speaking of last year, we're going to throw it out. We're going to toss it out. Normally I do a little recap, and go over some numbers, but we're wiping that away, and we're turning the page to this year. In comes new coach Doug Peterson, offensive coordinator Press Taylor, and passing game coordinator Jim Bob Cooter. You know, we're looking to find out how this offense is gonna, you know, operate as a whole in 2022. We know Peterson from Philly a little bit, but from what you've seen at camp, you know, what should we expect from this offense in 2022 in terms of scheme, formations, tendencies? You know, how is this gonna work from a nuts and bolts standpoint?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that they don't have a superstar. I mean, they hope Trevor Lawrence is that. But in terms of his, what's around him, they don't have a superstar, but they've got guys that have that kind of potential, starting with Travis Etienne. He's had an outstanding training camp. Obviously, he's had a full year to recover from the Lisfranc. He was able to participate in the offseason program. He's been there every day in camp. So, yeah, I think it starts with Travis Etienne, who certainly is showing the kind of dual threat ability that, you know, the Jaguars saw coming out of Clemson. So starts there. Travis Etienne has the look of a player that could certainly have a breakout season. You know, then I think you look at the receivers and tight ends. Christian Kirk's had a really good camp, creates separation. Trevor clearly trusts him. You know, again, is he an elite receiver in this league? Probably not, but I think he's going to get an opportunity here that he hasn't had before, and he's entering the prime of his career and seems like he's really taken to it. Zay Jones has been a surprise for me. I didn't really understand the signing at the time, but he's bigger, more explosive than what I thought. He's had an outstanding last couple of days. He's been good throughout camp, but it almost seems to me that he has separated himself from Marvin Jones. So in my mind, it's Christian Kirk, Zay Jones. Then there's been a drop-off in camp. Then you've got Marvin Jones, and then there's another drop-off, and you've got Laviska Shenault, Jamal Agnew, Laquan Treadwell, guys like that. So, and then Evan Engram at tight end. We know, obviously, that Doug Peterson is going to emphasize the tight end. It's why Evan Engram signed a one-year prove-it deal with the Jaguars. So he's looked good. He had some drops early on in camp, but the Jaguars were never concerned about it. And they certainly never lost confidence in him. They kept feeding him the ball. So Evan Engram's performed really well. It's hard to believe he's listed as a tight end because he doesn't even look like that big of a receiver. But, there he is. So, I don't know that there's an elite star Trevor can lean on yet, but he's got a nice array of options. Like when he drops back, he's going to have four options that I think are pretty good. And that's not including Dan Arnold at tight ends who can do some things. So, around him, it's a lot better. It's just a question of can some of these young players, really rise and become the, elite at their position.
Last year, Lawrence was actually seventh in attempts, passing attempts. A lot of that was because they were trying to come back. But, are they going to try to be more balanced this year with the run game? I know Peterson likes to rotate in his running backs as well. So are they going to lead on that pass game, or do you expect a balanced attack out there?
I think they're going to try to be balanced. But again, I think environmentally, the Jaguars are pretty attractive from a fantasy standpoint because they probably are still going to be trailing in the majority of the games that they play. Like even if things go well for the Jaguars, you're probably still looking at a 7-9 team. So, when you consider that, I would imagine that, when you look at the final numbers, they're not going to be very balanced because there's going to be more games where they're having to play catch up than they're, able to go 4 minute and try to, kill the clock out. So I would think that it's still going to be more tilted towards the pass just because I think that they're going to have to play catch up more than they'd like to in the second half. Obviously Doug Peterson's done a nice job of that in his career. They'd love to lean on the ground game. James Robinson looks like, he's going to be ready for the opener, which is really exciting considering he tore his Achilles on Christmas Eve last year. So I still think it's Etienne's job. I think he's going to get the lion's share, but you also have James Robinson, who's a really good plotter, really good at keeping the team in good down and distance situations. He's just not a home run threat. I think you, when you have Etienne and Robinson, obviously you want to lean on that ground game as much as you can. But again, like I said, I would imagine, this team isn't going to go 12-5, barring just something freaky. So, I think because of that, you look at the environment tells me that they're going to have to throw more than run because they're going to lose more games than they win.
We've mentioned Etienne a few times now, and he's a name that's really, it's buzzy in these fantasy streets. He's up to third round pick. I think come, here in a couple of weeks, he could even slip into the back end of the second round if this guy has a few splash plays in preseason. But, James Robinson, as you said, is coming back. Is this going to be more of a timeshare than gamers would like, or is it full Etienne season? And Snoop Connor is a guy going, as a flyer in deep leagues. Any Snoop talk?
Sure. I Etienne to me is the back you want to own because I think he is going to get the vast majority of the touches. Again, I think early on it's going to be hard for them to put a lot on James Robinson. And then I think by the time that maybe they're ready to, Etienne will have solidified his spot. So, if I had to guess, I'd say Etienne gets 65% of the total touches, maybe higher, and James Robinson maybe gets 30%, and then the rest of them get a minuscule amount. Snoop Connor is interesting. He's got good value. Now, he disappointed in the Hall of Fame game. He really wasn't all that explosive. Doug Peterson wanted to see better vision out of him. He had been pretty good in camp. So I don't know if he just had an off night, getting used to the speed of the NFL. But that was a little bit of a concern. But he's got a lot of upside as a late round guy because you're talking about he's behind two running backs. One's coming off a Lisfranc, one's coming off an Achilles. So, all it takes is for Etienne or Robinson to go down, and Snoop Connor's going to have, a really sizable workload. There's really no one else available. They could certainly go sign somebody off the street, but you would think that Connor's going to get the first crack to, to move up the depth chart and get those carries. So I like Snoop Connor as a guy, particularly if you do draft Etienne. If you draft James Robinson, I don't know that you're handcuffing him for where he's going to be going in drafts. But, but if you invest a pretty high pick in Etienne, then, it would make some sense if you're in a deep enough league to come back and get Connor, because if something were to happen, I think Connor would benefit. So I'd like to see more out of him. I think this Friday's game against Cleveland is going to be, you know, big for Snoop Connor to show that, you know, that he's got the burst that we've been seeing in camp. It's all going to come down to the situation, but you think his probability is a little higher than maybe some other late round rookies just because of the injury history, recent injury history of the two guys ahead of him on the depth chart.
Great stuff, Hayes. This is why we're here. Let's talk about those wide receivers a little bit more. You broke them down pretty well already, but we're degenerates, Hayes. We need some more talk.
I am as well. I'm ready.
You know, you mentioned Kirk seems like the clear wide receiver one here, and probably rightfully so after his contract. But how are these guys lining up? You know, is Kirk in the slot on the outside?
Yeah, he's everywhere, which I like, because I think defenses are going to have trouble identifying where Christian Kirk is going to be lined up. And that's obviously by design from Doug Peterson. So I think it's going to be tough for teams to know pre-snap, you know, how to defend Christian Kirk on the field. So that's going to benefit him. And I do think that he is the one that is going to, the passing game is going to be geared around. He can strike from all over the field. Zay Jones has showed that as well, though. He, even in like yesterday's practice, he caught a 75-yard touchdown bomb from Trevor, but then also caught some stuff just under underneath and in the intermediate that was impressive, that would have had some nice yards after catch. So, you know, I think Christian Kirk is clearly the guy that you'd want to own. Zay Jones is probably a guy that you can sneaky get late, because I don't know how much buzz there's going to be on Zay Jones. And Marvin Jones still has value. I've been disappointed in his camp, you know, but certainly he is somebody that got a lot of targets last year. There's not anything sizzling about his game, but he's a savvy veteran. Trevor obviously went to him a lot last year. I think that relationship is still pretty sound. You know, Marvin Jones, I think, has value. But to me, I'd have Christian Kirk, decent-sized gap, Zay Jones, and then another gap, and then Marvin Jones. In terms of Evan Engram, I think he's a guy that will catch a lot of passes if he stays healthy. That's the biggest thing. If you're willing to roll the dice on Evan Engram's health, then, yeah, I think you'll get good value selecting him where he'll go in most drafts, because he's going to have an opportunity, I think, to catch 70, 80 passes if he plays 17 games.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, a lot of people out there are projecting potentially 100 targets for Evan Engram. Is that a crazy projection, or does that sound right to you?
It sounds right to me if he, if he stays healthy, because you can just tell throughout training camp. I mean, when they go 11 on 11, 7 on 7, I mean, he's getting a lot of volume. So I don't think that's going to change. And again, he can't block. I mean, so he's the smallest tight end I've ever seen. The first time I saw Evan Engram, I was shocked that he is listed as a tight end. You know, he's there to create explosive things in the passing game. And we know Peterson's history, and Peterson doesn't even shy away from that. I mean, he's been asked about that repeatedly in camp. And, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, we're going to throw it to the tight end a bunch. That's always been a staple of what I like to do. So I think the environment is perfect for Evan Engram. And I think Trevor Lawrence is ready to step it up. So, I also think you can trust that these guys are going to have quality quarterback play, that when they create separation, Trevor's going to find him and put an accurate ball on him.
We haven't mentioned Laviska Shenault yet, and that's pretty telling to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like not worth mentioning, maybe, Hayes?
You know, I think Laviska was certainly a real disappointment last year. Now, you know, again, I think some of that was Laviska is, you know, he's a really good person. And I think he, more than maybe anybody else, was the most adversely affected by Urban Meyer's coaching style. So I just think the way Urban coached him, I think Laviska went into the jar early and never got out of it. And so they've really tried to build him back. And I think they've done a nice job. He's been injured this week, so he hasn't been out there. He's not going to play Friday against Cleveland. I do not have a lot of confidence in him. Like, I would not draft him if it were me. Obviously, you know, former second round pick, he's physical, he does some good things. But my guess is Laviska Shenault's headed for 5 to 10 offensive snaps a game, that kind of a role. I would not take him. And even if there was a injury to, you know, Christian, Zay, or Marvin, I'm not sure how much I would like him. It's just, he really struggled last year. I would need to see a little bit more before I would want to invest anything in him. My guess is it's going to be a pretty minimal impact for LaVisca Chenault, and unless the team just gets ravaged by injuries and they have no choice but to play him.
Okay, well, this is, we're here for the real deal talk from guys who are there. And wow, thank you, Hayes. Pretty sobering information about LaVisca, but we need it. We need to know what's going on. Okay, Hayes, let's round to the finish with some Trevor Lawrence talk. You know, he's, you know, one of the headliners here, so maybe we're burying the lead a little bit. After his year last year, there are people with question marks. Is this guy the guy that we thought? From what you've seen in camp and, you know, with this new regime, are we seeing more of the Trevor Lawrence that we, you know, at times we saw him last year too, so let's not, you know, completely bury the guy from last year, but he has his detractors off last season. But are we seeing peak Trevor now that he's in year two and he's got you know, a better head coach that can, you know, help him adjust to the game a little bit more?
Yeah, no question. I mean, again, think about everything that Trevor Lawrence went through last year. He had off-season shoulder surgery. He then goes into training camp and has to split first-team reps for 4 weeks with Gardner Minshew, who they just end up trading to Philadelphia. The head coach doesn't know what the hell he's doing, has no idea how the NFL works. Basically created a Ponzi scheme and sold it to Jaguars owner Shad Khan and the Jaguar fans. Hired an offensive staff that I think was pretty stagnant, didn't have a lot of creativity left in their repertoire, and didn't have a great supporting cast around them. You know, loses Travis Etienne in the preseason, doesn't really have anything notable at receiver, has really nothing notable at tight end. You know, and it was a debacle. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong around Trevor. The good news is he started every game, got all that time and all those learning experiences. And now he's in an environment that I think is a 180 better, particularly at head coach. I mean, Doug Peterson has been a godsend for Trevor Lawrence. As you mentioned, he's brought a tremendous offensive brain trust with him, and Press Taylor, Mike McCoy, Jim Bob Cooter. So Trevor's getting much better coaching. He is in a much more creative scheme, much more quarterback friendly scheme. And I think the 10 around him are better too. You know, they added Brandon Scherff at right guard, a 5-time Pro Bowler. Cam Robinson at left tackle is having a really good camp. They drafted Luke Fortner at center, who looks like he's going to be the real deal. They're going to have a good right tackle regardless, because they've got a good battle between Jawan Taylor and the incumbent and Walker Little. Those are both former second round picks. No matter who wins that job, you feel pretty good about the right tackle. And if one struggles, you've got good depth there. And then at left guard, it's probably going to end up being either Tyler Shatley, who is a veteran, or Ben Bartsch, who's a rising player they took in the fourth round. So I think the line looks good. I really like the line coach, Bill Roscher. We talked about Evan Ingram's a big upgrade, gives them something in the passing game this franchise hasn't had in a long time. And then you add Christian Kirk and Zay Jones to it. You know, now you've got, again, it's not what some of the other elite quarterbacks have around them, but it's certainly a lot better than what it was last year. And the biggest difference is Doug Peterson over Urban Meyer. So yeah, I think, you know, Trevor's taken obviously every rep with the ones. He's looked incredible each day. I say that. I mean, he's looked good to incredible each day. He hasn't had a bad day. I think he's only thrown one pick in training camp. You look at his decisiveness, his comfort level, his leadership. It's all there. You know, will he take a huge jump statistically? You know, he may still not have the supporting cast to really do that, to have a 38 touchdown, 6 picks kind of year. But I would be surprised if he doesn't come in somewhere around 31 touchdowns and 11 picks, you know, somewhere in there, which obviously would be a radical upgrade over last year's 12 and 17. So again, I give Trevor Lawrence a total pass for last year. I think he is ready to absolutely step it up. Is he ready to become an elite quarterback in year two? You know, that's really hard to say. He could, but I certainly think that wherever he's being drafted, he will overperform his draft round.
I love it, Hayes. Thank you so much. And we're going to get you out of here. We have one last question, but it's a bit of a toughie. Or what's your boldest fantasy take for this Jaguars team in 2022?
I think Travis Etienne has over 1,400 yards of offense.
Ooh, that is music to a lot of drafters' ears. Guys have been drafting this guy all summer and they're very high on him. So, and that's, you know, because he's going to make his hay through the air and on the ground.
That's right.
Awesome. All right, Hayes, Thank you so much once again. And you said it all on this Jaguars team. Where can people find all your stuff?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. You can find me on Twitter at Hayes Carlyon, HaysCarlyon. And you can find our app, 1010XL 92.5 FM, if you live outside the Jacksonville area. We have an app, so check us out. I'm on 3 to 6 on the Frangie Show. And really appreciate it, David. It was great being with you.
Great talking with you as well. And have a great season.
Thanks so much, David. You too.
Travis Etienne, I gotta move this guy up my ranks. You are now dialed in.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.